Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim, with Ray and Walker, and Steve Jordahl. How you doing? Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
I'm sore.
Are you?
Yeah.
You were out golfing for the first time in a bit, or what?
No, golfing doesn't make me sore.
makes me sore.
Yeah, makes me have a sore attitude.
Right.
Till the next shot, which I'm proud of myself, and then I'm returned to a good attitude. It's very much a bipolar sport. So I'm with my Ray and
yeah.
Steve, and I'm with my one of my grandsons last night. We're in a batting cage, right? He's learning baseball, 6 years old. So I was trying to motivate him, and I said, well, tell you what, I'm going to throw you three balls, and if you hit three hard balls, Poppy's going to give you 10 push-ups.
Ooh.
And I know people who exercise all the time are laughing at the idea of that. But for me, I don't do push-ups, so he was well motivated. He zoned in at that point and hit three pretty good balls. So I had to get down. He laughed his head off. Yeah, he's down there kind of like a Marine sergeant in my face, you know, watching me do push-ups. And then he wanted to hit more. Ray, he wanted me to do jumping jacks, and then he got around to sit-ups. I was doing 20 sit-ups. I was about to pass out there for a minute.
Look, just offer money. That's what God created.
I do have cash.
Money, right.
But he says cash to me, I like taking your money. This is what he says to me, my six-year-old grandson. So anyway, it's working, though, I guess. Maybe if he gets a scholarship one day to play baseball, it'll all be worth it. Then he told me something about it. I said, we've done jumping jacks, sit-ups, and what else did I say? Push-ups. I said, what else you got left? He said, do butterflies.
Butterflies.
So what's a butterfly?
Wow, whoa.
What's a butterfly? You know what a butterfly is, right?
No.
It's where you sit down and you rock your knees back and forth together, you know. Anyway, I'll show you.
Sure.
I'll send you a vid next time he gets me. But anyway,
a vid.
So anyway, I'm a little sore.
A little sore today.
A little sore this day. Hey, in all seriousness, we got the hurricane.
Yes.
Hit the Gulf Coast of Louisiana and now moving northward. Right, Steve, what's the latest on that?
Well, as of about half an hour ago, it was still a hurricane, but just barely at about 75 miles an hour. That's right about where Category 1 starts. It's now north. It's almost to the Shreveport area. It's going to be east of Shreveport, but it's still packing some winds. Governor Abbott said that as far as Texas is concerned, that the storm surge was below expectations. He was very pleased about that. But then Governor Abbott and Texas are on the west side of the hurricane. And I haven't heard a whole lot about the storm surge east of the hurricane, which is where the danger should be. Looking at pictures from the area, I know you all have seen pictures of tornado damage where, you know, the huge tornado might be a mile wide and you see this swath of devastation and destruction. Picture a 30-mile-wide tornado, and that's what this looks like.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you have sustained winds of, what, 130, 140?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when it made landfall.
By sustained, you're talking an hour maybe, something like that?
Yeah, and we're looking at, I'm reading reports of power outages for one story said 25%. Of the state.
Of Louisiana.
Without power.
Yeah. All right, Steve.
Hey, Tim, do you have your I Told You So cap with you?
I carry that around.
You should. You should put it on right now.
Okay.
Because about 20 minutes ago, Nancy Pelosi said this, cut 11.
I myself, just don't tell anybody I told you this, especially don't tell Joe Biden. I don't think that there should be any debates. I do not think that the President of the United States has comported himself in a way that anybody that has any association with truth, evidence, data, and facts. I wouldn't legitimize a conversation with him, nor a debate in terms of the presidency of the United States.
Where have I heard that before?
Well, I said that. I said that would happen, and I think that's probably how they'll try to get out of any kind of debate. You don't want to put Joe Biden up against Donald Trump in a debate situation. It's not going to be good for Joe Biden, I don't think. I could be surprised. You know, there's always that level of chance that somebody has so lower expectations that just reading a speech from a teleprompter for 20 minutes is just a grand success, as we found out at the Democratic convention. Ray, you think this mantra will build?
Well, I think it's going to go to the story we had at the end of the last hour, the question about the polls. That, you know, if Biden were to stay 8 to 10 points ahead in some polls, had him up that high, then that gives the Democrats could use that, walk away from the debates and say to themselves, we're going to win anyway, right? If it's really tight, can you imagine what Trump would do? Cowardly Joe Biden won't come out of his basement. In a close election, that's not going to play well, because the American people want to see these two men side by side on the same stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting, because I see the justification from both sides. So some Democrats might be saying, well, we don't want to put Joe Biden in front of Trump because he's going to stumble, he's going to not know his facts, he's going to embarrass himself. But at the same time, if you don't debate, I mean, that's pretty indicative of the candidate's current situation. If he's unwilling to, we've had a history for decades of having these debates, and all of a sudden we're going to forego them and stay in the basement. I don't know how that's a good strategy either, but maybe it's less risky.
Yeah. I just think that will be the, and it's kind of like one of those things where she said, I don't want Joe Biden to hear this. Like, Joe Biden's going to say, you know, don't hold me back, or hold me back. You know, no. I want a debate, but
let me add.
But nobody wants.
But
nobody
Pelosi won't let me.
But Pelosi won't let me. It just sounded so. I don't know. We'll see what happens here. But I just think that what she said as a reason not to would be acceptable to the left.
Well, imagine a situation in, say, the middle of September. Just, again, we don't know how the polls are going to go, reliability and all that. But suppose somehow the president is up 2 or 3 points by the middle of September. That's not impossible to conceive. At that point, then, everything she just said goes out the window. They've got to put him on the debate stage then if they think he's trailing. If they think he's ahead,
yeah,
going to run
that's
out
true.
The clock, right?
Yeah. That's true. Good You've point. Got it. That's a good point. You would only take the approach, I'm not going to debate this man because of, and the fill in the blank, is because you feel like you've got a lead safe enough to stay in the basement, stay out of the public view, keep my mouth shut, let my spokespeople issue press releases. And as I say, the sports metaphor, you know, run the four corners, as North Carolina used to do, or run out the clock. So, but if you're even or trailing, you're right, Ray, then you've got to try something to get back on top. And then a debate would be like for them.
It's a Hail Mary.
A Hail Mary at that point. Yeah, right. Hail Mary. But it'd be interesting to see what kind of bounce, if any, I think he will. The president gets after tonight, his speech to the nation. A lot of eyes will be tuned into that and listening to what he has to say. And the Republicans have done an excellent job this week of presenting their message, and the Trump administration of defending their 4 years in office. So we'll see what happens. But a lot of these swing states, it's getting close. It's getting closer than it was, say, 2 or 3 weeks ago. The race between Biden and President Trump. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. I guess tonight will be from the White House, right?
I believe so.
The president's speech.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Will be from the White House, which Franklin Delano Roosevelt gave his acceptance speech, I think, for the Democrat nomination from the White House. He may be the only other one who has done that. Of course, we live in if President Trump was going to go anywhere, they would say he's helping to spread COVID. The liberal media would say, if you went to Jacksonville or Charlotte or wherever for a convention, they would say that, right?
I tuned into MSNBC immediately after Mike Pence's speech from the Fort McHenry last night just to see what was going on. And without missing a beat, Rachel Maddow, which we've already heard once from today, started going in on, look, no one's wearing masks. They're not social distancing. This is a COVID nightmare. That's what she had to say about the speech.
Well, and my point is the president then decides, well, we'll just do this from the White House for the most part, make it simple and easy on everybody. Then he gets slammed for politicizing the White House. So you can't win.
Right.
You can't win. So I think it's, to me, it's actually worked out better. The optics of how they've handled this so far, Fort McHenry last night, this majestic auditorium they're using in Washington, D.C., and the Rose Garden, the White House, I think it's worked out better than a convention center in Charlotte would have, to me. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. But tonight does close out the Republican National Convention. And then on to the debate, or debates, or none at all. We'll have to wait and see. Nancy Pelosi says if she were advising Joe Biden, she would say do not debate Donald Trump because you don't want to humanize him, she says, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Today's Issues. Next story, Steve.
In the middle of all of the chaos going on, we've got hurricanes, we've got fires, we've got riots. We shouldn't forget about COVID, the pandemic that we're in the middle of. Remember when they told us that they wanted us to keep social distancing and kind of restrict ourselves so we could flatten the curve, and then they moved the goalposts to say, well, maybe not. Maybe we need to wait until there's a vaccine, which is a year away, so put us in quarantine for that much longer. Well, according to Tucker Carlson last night or the night before, he was saying that it's even the goalposts have moved once again, and you're not going to believe how. Cut 10.
At first, you'll remember the authorities told us we could resume our lives when hospital admissions tapered off and we flattened the curve. The curve stayed flat. In most places, it never bent. So we got a new benchmark for when we can get back to normal, when we get a vaccine. Everything will be fine once we can vaccinate against COVID-19. Many in authority told us that. They're still telling us that. But now they've changed that. Not true anymore. According to a new announcement from the World Health Organization, a vaccine, even if we get one, will not be the end of all of this. It will never end. You can get your injection, they'll make you get it, but you'll still be under arrest. The World Health Organization says that finding a vaccine is not the goal. Reordering society is the goal. Quote, we will not, we cannot go back to the way things were. That's a direct quote from the leader of the World Health Organization, Dr. Tedros, who, by the way, is not really a doctor. Because COVID-19 is not a public health crisis, really, or even a mere virus. According to Tedros, COVID-19 is, in fact, and this may surprise you, COVID-19 is really about global warming. As he puts it, quote, the COVID-19 pandemic has given new impetus to the need to accelerate efforts to respond to climate change. Bet you didn't see that coming.
I didn't.
What does that even mean?
I have the speech in front of me. It's exactly what he says. It was an accurate quote.
Yeah, this gets into what we've been talking about for a few months now, and that's the fact that, you know, coronavirus is going to be around for a long time, if not forever, just like other illnesses are. So our country's got to figure out a way to deal with this and address it without permanently removing individuals' freedoms, such as we're seeing going on in California with the churches. But yeah, if the American people don't speak up and verbalize their frustrations with a lot of these regulations, then you very well could see a lot of this go on for well in over a year.
Mm-hmm. All right, next story, Steve.
Hey, the sports world is getting in on the protests. Last night or the night before, actually, the Milwaukee Bucks decided they were just not going to take the court for a playoff game against the Orlando Magic. They just didn't show up in protest of the probably the Kenosha, I think, is what they were, the Jacob Blake shooting. So they didn't show up. So the NBA said, okay, we're not going to count that game, nor are we going to count any of the playoff games that were supposed to happen that night or the next day. The NBA, the WNBA, and the MLB are all in on this. Major League Baseball are all in on this kind of.
What are they boycotting for?
They want to draw attention to the things must change.
What must change?
Things. That's what they're.
Well, I mean, give me. You gotta.
I'm literally reading their tweets. I know. I'm sounding like obscure, but their tweets literally say, "This has to stop." Among the foul language that they use, this has to stop. We need change. So they want. They're demanding police reform.
So they now these players on the NBA teams now do they get paid to play basketball. I don't know if they're.
Well, they get paid if they play basketball. Okay. So I tweeted out when I heard about this that this would only be a valid protest if they forfeit the game and they forfeit the paycheck. Otherwise, it's just virtue signaling. So the NBA says, okay, we're not going to count any of these games, so they probably won't. There's not going to incur a loss. As far as the money, they probably will get out of that. Bobby Marks, a former vice president and assistant general manager for the Brooklyn Nets, tweeted out that teams could forfeit their game and face up to a $5 million fine for failing to appear, but he didn't think the Bucks would be penalized such.
This is bizarre.
Yeah.
How not playing a sports game is going to make our country a better place.
Well, the only thing you can deduct from this, if you're going to say it makes sense, and that's why I kept asking why, is that things to change is, again, this narrative by the Black Lives Matter movement that black men are being targeted by police officers all across America on a daily basis. That's what must stop. That's a false narrative, so you can't stop something that's a false narrative.
Right.
So you're going to be kneeling now, from now, if that's the standard, because you know what? In 2 weeks from now, we're going to have something happen in San Diego. And 6 weeks from now, we're going to have something happen in Boston. And 3 months from now, or 2 months from now, we're going to have two things happen, one in Seattle, one in, and you know what? It's going to involve a black man being shot by cops. And you know why? Because that's the real world we live in, and a lot of the violent crime is being committed by young African-American males. That's right. That's a statistical FBI fact. And so when you have interaction with police officers and young black males, daily basis all over the country, all the time, then you're going to have things happen. Sometimes the police may be at fault,
right?
But most of the time, as we find out, as the story's unraveled, the person that they're dealing with is fighting the cops, mm-hmm. or running from the cops, or threatening the cops, are giving the cops the middle finger,
right,
and saying I'm not listening to you. That's they're being more belligerent,
right.
So if that's gonna this what I'm saying is this quote, this has got to stop. It's not going to stop for the reasons I've just mentioned,
right.
And you're talking about a country of 330 million people, and you're talking about people with cell phones, mm-hmm. and 24/7 news and social media. You're always something's going to happen today somewhere,
right.
You know what I'm saying? That's not going to be allowed to even be vetted for what happened or who's at fault, who's responsible. No, it's officer shoots black man. That's all you need to know. Burn down the city.
Yeah, the best way to
really boycott the ball game.
I think the most effective change would be just to convince the public to stop fighting with police. I mean, that would bring an immediate halt to a lot of this.
But the NBA doesn't even these people who are talking about this issue from the saying Jacob Blake was murdered by cops, they don't even pause to say, you know what? Listen, stop fighting cops when you're pulled over or questioned.
Right.
Now, let me speak to what the cops did in this situation, which I'm being critical of.
Right.
They don't even give that kind of balance. It's
right.
No. So I don't know. So this is, I hate to sound, Ray, I hate to sound
pessimistic
about this situation, but this is what I've been saying since Michael Brown. this is going to happen from now till the end of time.
Let me ask about the economics of all this, because up until this season, the NBA has basically been a money printing factory, right? They make so much money. They make an unbelievable amount of money. Again, up until this season, it's unbelievable how well these players get paid, right? Now, I understand that the ratings have been in the tank already, right? So we're not supposed to be playing the NBA in August anyway. So everything's upside down because this is 2020. How in the world, from an economic point of view, does this even make sense? Your ratings are terrible anyway. So now you do a meaningless protest and you boycott the games. How can that – who's running the NBA
LeBron
is what
James,
I want to know.
LeBron
Who
James.
Is running this?
Yeah. LeBron James, yeah.
LeBron
exactly.
James is he's the czar of the NBA. Whoever the chair I don't even know who the commissioner is.
Stern, I think, isn't it?
He really is a figurehead. LeBron James is the international superstar that tells everybody else in the NBA what to do and what we're going to do. And so it's whatever he says goes.
How is this not shooting themselves in the foot? Because American public hates this kind of stuff.
You mean the cops shot him in the foot, Ray? Come on, man. Come on.
Hard to understand.
Well, LeBron James, for example, is a multi-millionaire. He's not going to be hurt by missing any games.
That's true.
Now the rookie is, who just barely made the team.
This is just out from the Washington Post. I'm reading it. Just came out right now. The Milwaukee Bucks' decision to sit out the playoff game in protest of Jacob Blake's shooting by police in Kenosha, Wisconsin, which has led the NBA to postpone three games Wednesday, will not lead to the end of the league's postseason, according to people with knowledge of the situation.
Yeah.
Money.
Well, I don't watch the NBA anyway, so it doesn't matter to me.
I'm pretty much checked out of almost all sports.
Right.
Because even the college, some of the colleges are getting into this.
Walker, let me introduce you to NASCAR.
Yeah, or hockey. I hear hockey's pretty good.
Yeah.
They stand for the anthem.
NASCAR's had their own dealings with this.
Well, they have, but in the middle, I think that's more of a balance thing. Yes, they've had one of the drivers, and it was a big thing over a noose or not, and they're taking a stand against police violence and all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, they're allowing Blue Lives Matter cars to run. Yeah. So
They're not as woke as the NBA by any stretch of the imagination. But professional sports, we'll see if the NFL does like I think they're going to do, kneeling during the national anthem.
Right. They're destroying their own they're burning their own house down.
Yeah, at least half the audience is going to eventually just say I don't need to be force-fed your political views every week before the game.
Yeah, and to Ray's point, these leagues are already struggling with money because they don't have a lot of ticket sales. And so you're basically relying on TV revenue, and now they're hurting that themselves.
Yeah. I just hope this doesn't drift down into the college ranks, where the college players are making political statements every week.
Right.
I think that would be damaging to their sport or sports. All right, Ray, thank you.
Thank you, Tim.
Steve, appreciate it.
My pleasure.
And Walker, appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Brent, I thank Brent Creeley and Fred Jackson. And we thank you for listening to AFR. Have a good day, everybody, and continue to pray for our friends in Louisiana and in Texas as a result of the Hurricane Laura. Take care.